This is Ozarks at Large. Later this month, the University of Arkansas Honors College will offer an online course called Pandemic. Several different instructors will lead individual sessions about health, media, economics, and other aspects of life affected by what's happening this spring. Trish Starks will conduct a class titled Quarantine and Plague. She is a professor of history at the University of Arkansas, and among her special interests of work and research, the history of medicine. She says she'll lead a discussion about three distinct issues connected to this pandemic and history.
When I was contacted by Linda Kuhn, Dean of the Honors College, it was a great and exciting idea of trying to get together expertise from across the university, from the different colleges, that could inform understanding of the current situation. And as a historian of medicine, I thought what I could bring is an understanding of historical precedents for different policy responses and different concerns that we're seeing today. And so I've put together for my presentation for as part of this class a three-part approach to understanding the current times. And students will be looking at three parts: quarantines through history as understood especially from the 14th century Black Death, the idea of passport systems for the immune, which has been discussed in the media, has been discussed as part of this idea of herd immunity, but particularly looking at that as seen in yellow fever epidemics in New Orleans in the 19th century. And then finally, we're going to look at the concept of waves and how waves were part of the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918. And so in each case, I'm going to give them a little history, a little bit of stuff to read, and then we're going to talk about governmental response. How is governmental response? How should it be informed by history? How can it be informed by history? And why do we often have to fall back on history when we don't fully understand the full biological, the full immunological, the full epidemiological situation right now? Sometimes the only thing we have to guide us is the history. And so I'm hoping that by giving them these little kind of bite-sized nuggets of historical context, they can then use them to be more informed about our current situation.
If you were teaching at any time prior in your career, a session, a class that would involve quarantines through history and passport systems related to yellow fever and waves of pandemics, it would be history. But the $64,000 question here is because it's current and things could, you know, presumably change just between when we're talking and when you're in front of the students, it's got to be academically such an interesting / frightening sort of way to go into a class.
It is. I have to say that as a historian of medicine right now, you know, you look, I had a student on our last class meeting, our last face-to-face class meeting, ask me, what do you think is going to happen? And it really was a flooring question to me, because I'm not just a historian of medicine, I'm also a historian of Russia. And those two things together do not tend to give a sunny outlook on life.
Yeah.
And so when I was asked by the student, what do you see is happening, I wanted to be upbeat. But unfortunately, one of the things that history does give you is also a vast menu of the horrible possibilities. And so there's always that background of, you know, history guides us so that we do not repeat the mistakes of the past. What I can tell students a lot about is the mistakes of the past, and not so much hope that we don't repeat them, but hope that we are guided by them to a better path forward. To a certain extent, there's no avoiding death when we're talking about pandemic disease, but how do we mitigate that?
Yeah, and I think you've kind of answered my next question is, so if we're looking at quarantines of the Black Death, so 5, 6, 7 centuries ago, what can we learn about a contemporary pandemic that is still unfolding? But you're looking, you say, at what potential mistakes could be made and using history as a guide there.
But also, I mean, one of the things that immediately happened with quarantine in the past, and that what we saw with Wuhan as well is that quarantine tends to induce panic and flight. And so what we saw with Wuhan was they tried to shut the city down, the city of 11 million people, and almost half of people had already left because of worries over what was going to happen. And so trying to figure out how do you practice safe mitigation techniques to try and keep people from movement, yet at the same time not induce panic. Those are the back and forth of public health. How do you allow freedom, yet at the same time safety? How do you allow liberty, but at the same time stop life? These are the questions always at the base of public health and are very much informed by history of how people react and respond, that we have to think about humans. I guess the big thing that this is showing as an epidemic fully is that the importance of humanity to understanding how people react to different situations, that it's not just a cut and dried stem question of this is the virus, this is how it responds to the body, this is what we need to do. We have to understand that people are part of this equation. And if we don't understand how people behave, how they've behaved in the past, how they might behave in the future, we're not going to have effective means of response that that really will help save lives.
We've discussed this before when you and I have talked, but this current situation and this class that you'll be helping instruct really does seem to suggest that studying the history of medicine is really an interdisciplinary, exercise. We're talking about social class and all sorts of different things.
Yes. And for my section, they're going to be reading from multiple places. They're going to be historians that work on epidemiology. We're going to be reading historians that work on class and social setting and how that mitigates disease. We're going to be looking at straight up vectors of disease and how did they understand where yellow fever came from and how it was transferred. So there are interdisciplinary approaches in the history of medicine. And what I love about this class is it's also bringing all of these different disciplines together to discuss our current situation. I'm very excited for the discussions of supply chain and how do we understand how goods are moved around the United States and how this is affected by the virus. I'm very excited by the straight up public health people who are going to be discussing the logistics of dealing with surges within hospitals and dealing with the very real problem of how many people, how many beds. I'm also extremely excited by our art historians who are going to talk about how our past conceptualizations in art have influenced our current understandings of disease. There are so many ways that disease is a reflection of our times, but also how it is understood through our past experiences. I read a lovely essay the other day about how photography of early epidemics has kind of influenced the way that we think of epidemics and what we see when we see epidemics and how it's disinfecting stations and it's lines of cots and it's piles of bodies, that these are the things that are photographed and these are the things that we then expect to be photographed and then these are the things that we see photographed. Mm. And so we become part of a lens that is historically contingent.
I think the third component of what you'll be touching on, waves, is going to really be this odd marriage of past, contemporary, and potential future. What can we learn from the waves that you'll be addressing in the class?
With the 1918 epidemic, the Spanish flu epidemic, the global pandemic, there's debate as to how these waves move forward. There is one school that says that the virus mutates and that changes its strength and changes the number of people that are killed. There's another one that focuses on social class. And so the first wave really hit the poor, and the second wave hit the well-to-do. And I'm assigning a essay for the students that looks specifically at how the waves hit England and Wales, and looks at three things that are really being discussed right now. Schools and their openings and closings, temperature changes, and then changes in terms of human behavior, mitigating factors, and how we can tease out which of these is more important or which of these might have had some kind of impact. But it really is even still debated in the past as to what was effective and how it changed the waves. And so it's not surprising that we're still having these confusing discussions now.
Trish Starks is a professor of history at the University of Arkansas, and among her interests for research and work, the history of medicine. She'll lead a session of the upcoming course, Pandemic, offered by the University of Arkansas Honors College, titled Quarantine and Plague. The Pandemic Forum will take place May 11th through the 22nd. The Honors College will provide free public access to the forum by posting a recording of each class online. Go to honorscollege.uark.edu/pandemic.